heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Have you noticed that we are all talking in echo chambers? And maybe that doesn't sound so unusual, but it's a hyper moment in time, I guess, what I call it here. And the echo chambers, I mean, we're all in our groups and our ideology. And I'm sensing that now when I see what's happening in all of the outlets, the mainstream media, the social media. And so I'm thinking in these terms. I'm thinking, okay, about everybody right now is, committed, I think, to some kind of ideology, if you would agree with me on that. I mean, we all have our belief structures, more or less. We have our ideology, what we believe in, and so on, right? If you think about in those terms, I've been thinking about who are the unicorns. You know, we talk about, whatever you want to call them, moderates, independents. Well, independents would be the right word, I guess. Kind of in a society like we're dealing with right now, they are sort of like unicorns, where if they have no ideology, they're uncommitted, they're free thinkers. And then what do they really vote on? I'm wondering, right? Do they vote on personality, right? Is it familiarity, right? Brandon kind of thing. Is it commonality out there? Principles? Do they vote on the person or the policy? Who do these unicorns really vote for? Because if we're not really looking at unicorns, my fellow Americans, what are we doing exactly here? You know, as I peel this back right now, the entire news cycle, I'm thinking about, okay, and I come on with you today, I'm thinking, okay, who can we reach today? What kind of difference can we make in the world? Who can we approach with this policy? In other words, who exactly is convincible at the moment, right? Right, that I could bring over to my point of view, sort of thing. I believe my point of view is a good point of view. I believe I put the good fight out there every day. And so what would it take to do that, for me to convince more people that this is the right path forward? So that's the question I ask, and I put it out there with you, because all too often we're in these echo chambers where a lot of our listeners come on and they believe in what I'm talking about. And I'm wondering how many people tune in that are sort of suspect, that are, I don't know if I really believe this guy. I don't really know if he's always telling the truth or if I align with his policies, because we like to align with those people who have similar belief structures. I mean, that is a fact. That is a fact. And it gets uncomfortable for people otherwise when they're in, people that think differently. And there's a lot to that, I have to tell you. But growing up in corporate boardrooms, that wasn't always that way. I learned anyways as a young lad, it was better to be around some of those people who didn't have the same thoughts. You actually learned more in the process. And it's the same thing here in political circles, if you think of it that way. So I think that's the place to start here today, is this echo chamber. And beyond that, it's the onslaught of the establishment. And I would dub this today with you, my fellow Americans, this way: the establishment strikes back. And I think you're seeing that now. Now, we've been talking about this election coming up and where is it going to go and where are we exactly? And here we are. We're on the doorstep. And now it's either going to be a doorstep to a brighter future, right? I mean, it has the potential for that. And it has the doorstep to set us back 100 years or and then some. And that's the stakes of this election. In a lot of the stories we've been talking about over the past couple years, at least minimum, have all been tied around some of the things I want to talk to you today. In fact, Michael Johns will be joining me on the program today, and we're going to peel the onion on a lot of these stories I'm going to share with you in a moment. But let me say to you right now, the tension in the room at this moment of time is off the charts. That tension is being felt in China. It's being felt in Iran, throughout the Middle East. It's being felt in the UK, throughout Europe. in remote areas of the world, right? It's being felt in social media circles, in the mainstream media, in corporate boardrooms, and it's being felt at the dinner table. You can about hear a pin drop as folks are glued to this American election. So that should put it in the stakes for you as to, as far as I'm concerned, is what the real stakes are. Where are we at exactly? That's what I'm talking about. That's what happens, the fallout from this election. All these stories, there's some connecting forces with all of the stories that we've been talking about as pundits and commentators and in the news cycle over the past couple of years, all the way back to the Mueller stuff and the Russia collusion stuff and throughout the impeachment in the Ukraine and all of these stories that have been connected and trying to build up steam as the clock has been moving forward. And the one thing I'm going to say to you up front, that, and I'm just going to be, as I always am, people, honest with you, all of these stories have been building and building and building and building. But, you know, the Republicans just don't know how to put a fork into it. They don't know how to bring it to a conclusion. Seems like they always stay on the outer elements of it, the sphere of the real point of view. And a lot of that escapes the American public because, A, they're busy living their lives, and B, the media simply doesn't report the truth. And then when you top that off and you have social media shutting everything down, well, now you've got a calamity happening here. And then you can say, oh, my golly, the establishment really is striking back, Malcolm. Yeah, I've been telling you that. And here we are in the ninth inning of an election that is massive, major in size. And then you say, well, what could really happen here? You know, what are the factors of this thing? What's really going to take place? You know, I mean, that's what everybody senses. What's going to take place with this election? You know, as we get there. Now, there are a few observations I want to make with you right now. And these are observations I want to talk to Michael about, and I want to talk to you out there about. And they're not complicated, but let me just throw them out there quickly for you as we prepare this big conversation today on the establishment striking back, right? So you have this new, these revelations with the Hunter Biden, the Burisma deal, and now the smoking gun email scandal that's being covered up right in front of the American people, right in the middle of the intersection, people, right at this very moment. You know, if you ever doubted before that there was an establishment in play, well, wake up. Everybody. So again, back to those unicorns, you know, and I say that in a positive way. I mean, these are people that have a different view structure. I'm not saying it in a negative way. This whole thing reveals, bottom line, this, how Hunter Biden was bringing daddy some new friends from the Ukraine. This is as he was put, daddy was put in charge of the Ukraine and China. Those were things that were given to him from Barack Obama, you see. And daddy was selling out America for the personal enrichment of his family. That's what daddy Biden was doing. That is a pay to play if there ever was one. That's one observation I have here, okay? Another one here is there's nothing natural about what Facebook and Twitter and others, and don't even think Google and YouTube are not putting their hand on the scale, they are. But there's nothing natural about what these technology behemoths are doing right this very moment. I mean, they have taken a stand. They're playing the poker game right out there. They believe the stakes are that high for them that they're willing to risk everything. 230 doesn't mean anything at the moment for them because they believe the establishment will fix whatever Trump undoes if they can win this election. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? So all of these players and these people believe that they're willing to play it. It's a crapshoot because if it doesn't go their way, then all bets are off and they lose the game. It's a total crapshoot on their end, but they're playing it out. They're putting all the chips down on the table now saying, you know what? We're going to play this whole thing to sink Trump and the campaign and the American people. That's what we're doing. Absolutely. That's another observation I have for you. Okay. And then I wonder, and how much don't we know? Well, that's a loaded question, isn't it now? You know, the emails that reveal that how Hunter Biden was doing the cash deals on behalf of the family again and Daddy Biden with the Chinese firm. You see, this has been ongoing as well. And that's sort of being overshadowed by the Ukraine deal. But these are only the story. This is what you would call. You remember you're hearing that phrase, the tip of the iceberg? Yeah. Yeah. This would be that tip right here. There's a lot more of the iceberg we don't know. If this is all we know, can you imagine all the connections and the stories and the dirty deeds that Daddy Biden and others have been playing with, along with the FBI and the CIA and the DOJ and all of these institutions? Can you just imagine? Can you imagine if we could look at all that data right now and all the shenanigans, all the dirty deeds that have been played out over the last many, 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 many years? Do you realize what that would do to our republic? You want to talk about having a moment? Well, that would be a moment, I'll tell you. But this deal with China and Hunter Biden and Daddy Biden should not be overlooked. These very lucrative deals with that private energy company in China we're speaking about. And that he said, interesting for me and my family, he says in the emails. There's a lot of, you know, very shady talk in all these emails that are coming out now. That's all you know, but you don't know what you don't know. Another observation we've learned, although we always knew, but now without a doubt, you know, that the Democrats view the Supreme Court as a policy-making, sausage-processing center for their favorite policies. That's how they view the Supreme Court. Now, does that get your feathers all ruffled up or not? But that is another observation. It's a very accurate observation, I believe. And then listen to this. In the Huffington Post just this morning here, I see it comes into my news feed. It's not my go-to source for anything. But you see what comes into the news feed, right? And this one here had a headline. Amy Coney Barrett refuses to say if climate change is real. And this goes on to say, and listen to the opening piece to this story. And people, they have a big audience. People read this Huffington Post. And many people believe this garbage. And this is where things get offline and people never really understand what the origins of the Supreme Court really is, because they don't understand history to begin with. They don't understand our American experiment to begin with. But listen to this first couple sentences here. Amy Coney Barrett has dodged Democrats' questions all week on policy matters. She's not supposed to put her opinion on policy matters, you doofus. I mean, how stupid are they at the Huffington Post? You know, during her Senate Judiciary Committee hearings. But on Wednesday, President Donald Trump's Supreme Court nominee took it a step further and refused to discuss whether climate change is real. You can't make this stuff up, people. That's another observation for you. And then what about this observation? You see the exchange between Wolf Blitzer and Speaker Pelosi? That's another cover up at the highest order. And he comes out and says, can you look the American people? Can you look them in the eye, Madam Speaker? This is Wolf Blitzer now. Not exactly a right wing conservative talk show kind of dude, you know? Can you look them in the eye, Madam Speaker? And explain why you don't want to accept the president's latest stimulus offer? She says, I represent those people. She cuts him off. When you say, why don't we accept their proposal? Why don't they accept ours? This whole thing, bringing more pain to the American people, was always another observation, was always the game plan of the left when they had all the blue states and blue cities and blue mayors and blue governors and all closed down, locked down, stay down, and gyms go out of business, restaurants go out of business community be decimated. This was always their game plan. So why in the ninth inning with just an out or two outs would Pelosi all of a sudden want to try to help the American people out to give some relief to say, well, maybe there is a light at the end of the tunnel? Well, she doesn't want a light at the end of the tunnel. She wants that to be a fast moving train to plow you over on the track. It's all she's looking for. It's very clear in her exchange with Wolf Blitzer. And then my observation of Anthony Fauci coming out, by the way, I don't know if you've seen this, maybe not, but he's suggesting now that families across our great country, throughout our land, need to cancel Thanksgiving because of the COVID uptick in cases. So he wants you to cancel Thanksgiving. And if that isn't enough for you, what about the silence? I find it very, very interesting, the silence of Barack Obama. Don't you find that interesting right now? I find it very interesting how quiet he is. You don't hear, you know, he opened up, by the way, on this Pod Save America, some episode there that came out in the last day or so. He says that Biden will use his good instincts if elected in 2020. Well, that's an oxymoron statement if you ever had one. To put Joe Biden in good instincts in one sentence just does not work, people. The man has never had good instincts in his entire life. Why would he have them now? But that's being said from a Marxist president. What more would you expect? All of this is the establishment striking back. All of these observations, and there's a ton more. You know that. We could sit here for hours and talk about these observations. And to wrap this all up in a fancy little package, then you say, well, what really is the threat? Well, the threat has always been Donald J. Trump. President Trump comes out just in the last day or so, and I quote, he says, these people are crazy. Now, these are the people who are saying Donald Trump is crazy. He says, if I don't sound like a typical politician or typically political, I'm not. I don't play by the rules of Washington establishment, Trump says. Well, listen, here's the deal. President Trump doesn't fit the mold. He never has fit the mold. Doesn't work. In fact, I'll tell you one other thing. Gallup, just in its last survey in the last about a week or so here, Americans are more likely to feel that Biden has presidential qualities lacking in Trump. 49% said that the former vice president has presidential traits, while only 44% say that of Trump. I believe that exactly. I don't have any problem with that. President Trump never entered the Oval Office to be presidential. That was never his game plan. Let's be very clear. Let's put that out there right now. That has always annoyed the establishment. It has bothered them to the greatest degree that the man wasn't presidential from the beginning. That's what this is all about, people. He doesn't play to the violin. He's not any of that. He doesn't play to the Pied Piper of what they're selling. Never has, never did, never will. That is why Donald J. Trump is a threat to the entire establishment. And the establishment is striking back.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
I would suggest to you that the American people will never give up. Liberty will never stop burning here. We will fight till our very last breath here. But it is important to note today that all of these observations I give you up front in the program, there is one conclusion, and it is indeed the establishment is striking back. I want to dive into some of those observations now with my dear friend and colleague here on the show, Michael Johns. He's the national co-founder and leader of the Tea Party movement. He is a former White House speechwriter, a policy analyst with the Heritage Foundation. Michael Johns gets it. He understands what the stakes are. He is a clarion voice at a time where we need them in this great nation. Let's start with the establishment striking back in the echo chamber. For months and months and years now, we've been talking, Michael, about this very moment of time. Here we are in the ninth inning, we find ourselves in, and it really is a moment of truth. How concerning should we be? How concerning should the American people be? What are the stakes, and how do we slay this dragon?
Hello, Malcolm. Yes, this is a critical moment for our country. How concerned should we be? Fire alarms going full blaze, I think. There's every reason and every hypothetical that we've almost discussed that suggests we have an elite establishment or establishment, as you referred to it, that is undeniably utilizing its authority and power to undermine American democracy, intervene and interfere in this election. And they have one universal agenda, which is to stop Trump and remove him for Biden. It's reflected in the actions of big technology. It's reflected in a media that will not ask tough questions of Biden. It's reflected in an entire celebrity class that is welcoming of him. It's reflective in even an establishment government that does not see, apparently, even in these revelations of the last 48 hours, what I see, which is a very legitimate question of whether we have a compromise candidate. When you have your son, who has been enriched to the tune of certainly at least tens of millions of dollars, it appears, in secretive deals, trading his name for these lucrative arrangements with two countries that are indisputably hostile to us, China and Russia, and a third, Ukraine, that appears to be filled with corruption. I think we have even more serious questions about whether are these delegitimizing to Biden. It goes to the point of that essentially FBI were attempting to raise inappropriately, wrongly, and incorrectly on Trump early in the administration of whether there were national security compromises here. How do we know that there weren't? And how would we just let this play out in a way where clearly, are we to understand that all of these millions of dollars have flown into the Biden family and that there's no reciprocal commitments on his part? That defies common sense. It's possible, but it defies common sense. And so I think there's a legitimate national security threat that has emerged, particularly in the release of these emails, which fortunately we got because I guess Hunter Biden was had other things to do than pick up his computer at the repair store. Obviously, you can see the establishment moving into high gear in their efforts to censor this information. They want to keep it away from the American people. The same media that floated the Russia lies, that is reported routinely on anonymous, inaccurate information and resources, just silencing this because it frightens them.
There's no question, Michael, if this was reversed, if this was anybody within a shouting distance of the Trump campaign, it wouldn't matter if it's his family. It wouldn't matter if it's a son or daughter or son-in-law. It wouldn't matter if it's somebody remotely attached to a campaign member or a family member or five cousins removed or somebody who was born in the 17th century that maybe knew that family. Michael, I'm going to tell you right now, if there was any connection from the last several hundred years that came into the Trump campaign or President Trump, this media would be all over that story. It would be the hottest, biggest story all over the news. What does that tell you?
They want Biden to be elected. And so we have New York Post reporter who did a good job in unearthing a good number of these emails on Hunter Biden's computer that I guess he was too busy to pick up. And it clearly shows deep levels of relationships financially with the Communist Party of China and its affiliates with Russia and with the corrupt Ukrainian energy company, Burisma. And I think these are legitimate national security concerns. They're being discussed as political concerns. Mm-hmm. I'm suggesting that when you have this amount of money that has gone into a guy who was a known crack addict, who had no expertise in any of the functions that he was charged with carrying out on their behalf. Mm-hmm. There's good reason to believe, and maybe every reason to believe, that this was designed to buy policy favor from Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And we were told by Joe Biden repeatedly, oh, I didn't know about it, I wasn't involved. You know, it sounded like a serial lie when it was presented. And now, sure enough, in these emails, it emerges, oh no, meetings were arranged. The proposal for meetings were floated. Mm-hmm. It's indisputably inaccurate for Joe Biden to be saying he was unaware of these affiliations. Mm-hmm. When your son goes on the major corporate board of a foreign energy company at $50,000 a month, that alone you know about. When he starts cutting investment deals and has no history of, you know, fund management or financial management or investment relations or investor solicitation background, clearly this is designed to gain favor with Biden. $3.5 million from the wife of the mayor of Moscow, who's part of this entire Russian ruling elite. All of these things should be, really almost prompting a federal investigation promptly, too, because we're within the range of a, I think, honestly, Biden needs to be placed under oath. I think Hunter Biden needs to be placed under oath. I think there needs to be a demand for full disclosure of what the magnitude of these financial relate. What other ones don't we know about?
Yeah.
I mean, there are other governments that potentially have been involved. There's so many questions that have emerged in these reports. And yet you kind of opened the show by talking about the timidity of Republicans, mm-hmm. who I agree, when it comes to partisan politics, are immensely timid. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm suggesting this rises above that. The president may be reelected. The president may not be reelected, whatever, and obviously you see in some of these establishment Republicans that, they don't like Trump rocking the boat. They kind of like the cozy arrangements they had yesterday, in yesterday's world.
Yeah.
I believe these issues, from standpoint of simply a national security basis, require urgent disclosure, urgent close evaluation, and by a neutral body of the U.S. government.
Yeah. Michael, your analysis is brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and you're spot on. And everyone, you need to hear what we're talking. I mean, we just hit a home run right here. You're right, Michael. This is really it's not political specifically. It is national security. Back to posing that question, I said up front in the program, I talked about selling America out. It wasn't just a talking point, but what's happened here is there obviously has got to be tremendous favor going back the other way. So then you have to, like you're saying, Michael, you have to ask yourself, well, what were those favors? Now, I like what you say there a minute ago when you say, well, you know what? We need to stop the merry-go-round a quick moment because our national security is at risk. Does everyone understand that? And what we need to do is get Joe Biden in a room along with Hunter Biden, and they need to be under oath talking at this point. We need to have, this needs to be a forum. Now, if that means you need to hold the election back or postpone it, maybe there needs to be a resolution now or some sort of, I don't know, Michael, how you do
it's
that.
It's got to be by the Constitution, not open the door for criticism from the far left. Amen. Whatever's done has to be completely adherent with the Constitution, but Amen. The brilliance of the Constitution is it has all of the provisions necessary to address issues of this nature. Let me get to another issue. They'd always talked about was, on the Russia lie, the collusion lie, was Trump potentially subject to blackmail by Putin? And, obviously it was all designed to take the focus off of what Hillary Clinton should have been investigated for and wasn't, and to put Trump on defense those first 2 years. But already we've got photos now of Hunter Biden asleep with a crack pipe in his mouth, engaged in sex acts. What other photos are in the presence of these governments that in these countries that he traveled to for in the way of doing business. And what happens when the CCP tells Joe Biden, these are really fairly embarrassing photos. It'd be a shame if they were released into the public. And, you know, maybe if you cease U.S. naval operations in the South China Sea, they don't have to be seen by anyone. Why is no one talking about these issues in those ways? I mean, you can't say you're unfamiliar with the considerations as you've sat and listened to the lies put forward on Russia. These are not lies. They're not denying these financial relationships.
I scratch my head all the time with what you just posed right there, why they don't see it as serious as it is or anything close to it, Michael. And I wonder that all the time. And then I question myself, and I don't know the answer to these things, like, do they love their country? I ask that, that's a question I ask myself all the time to these various groups of people. And as you mentioned a moment ago, the rhinos and the others, or the people that are in key Republican spots who simply are not going to vote for the president no matter what, or what. Whatever, because he doesn't make them comfortable. He doesn't make anybody comfortable. He's in it for one reason. He's in it for the country, for America. And that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. I think the point we bring up now in this national security is a big issue right now, that how much have we been compromised, Michael? We've just put it out in the light of day now. So how much have we been compromised? What do they know? And as you say, what do they have that's damning? We know they've got all kinds of photos. I'm sure they had cameras all over the place as Hunter was traveling the world, most of the time on Air Force Two with his father, who says he didn't know anything about his dealings. And of course, it's all in the emails. He was part of it. So then you see that's why the Biden campaign is hitting back, saying, well, we don't see anything on his schedule like that. I mean, these people think we're all idiots. But, you know,
when you go through a security clearance, one of the questions that is a serious one. And, you know, some people say, you know, why would you even ask that? But, you know, one of the questions is about drug use. OK. And one of the reasons you ask about that is that someone who is in a state of drug addiction, which I think everyone acknowledges Hunter Biden was. I'm not sure what his present state is, but certainly was when these deals were done, is vulnerable. His addiction is going to override any other consideration, including his future, including the nature of what commitments he's making, including things he's doing. And he's exactly the sort of person that a foreign intelligence agency seeking to gain leverage and influence with the United States government would target. Yeah. And I'm going to be honest, all these things I'm discussing are not things that I've heard anyone else on our side raise yet. Mm-hmm. They started to occur to me yesterday. Now I'm sitting here looking at a photo of Joe Biden with a Burisma executive after him saying, hey, I didn't know anything about that. I wasn't involved. It's clear to me that Biden has not been forthcoming. That's not surprising to me. I don't think it should be surprising to anyone. And it's also clear to me that these, as I said, are concerns that stretch beyond the question of what our future marginal tax rate should be, or whether Joe Biden or Trump or Beth. These are issues that go to the heart of the security of the country with really two governments that we should be, that we are really at the forefront of our list of concerns.
Let me move the ball along. I want to talk about another observation, but what we just nailed down is important with the national security threats with this story we're talking about. And the other big, well, before we move, I want to get to the Supreme Court. But before I do, Mike, another observation I want to touch on with you is what's going on right now, which is unbelievable with the, we hinted to it a little bit, but let's talk about that right next year. The, what's taking place with Facebook and Twitter, which I mentioned in the upfront comments as well. Now, there was a congressional hearing on the books already, as I understand it, Michael, for a couple of weeks from now. It was already on the books for Dorsey and Zuckerberg and some of these, for the, at least them two, I know, were scheduled to be in front of Congress. I don't know if you out there are aware of that, but that was already bit nailed down. In fact, they were threatened to be subpoenaed for that, Michael, if they didn't, they had no choice. They were told they would be subpoenaed if they didn't make it, and they did agree to come. Now there's a lot of scrambling happening right now because the lawmakers want answers. At least Republican lawmakers want answers for the moment as to what's going on here. But what they're doing right now is unprecedented. It's never happened. This is equivalent, Michael, to the Chinese media or the Russian media closing out, or what happens in Iran, where they shut the social media spigot off and you can't get any more information. We see this happening in, let's be clear, in Iran, China, Russia, third world countries, Venezuela. They shut the spigot off. They don't allow the information out there anymore. This is what this is equivalent to right now, but it's not being run from the state. It's being run in a blatant way, but it's being, although it is part of the state, as we talk about the establishment, but it's these tech behemoths and what's taking place here. Michael, this is a game changer. This goes against everything that we stand for in America. How do we ever get back from this moment of time? Because they've suspended the press secretary, Team Trump, the Trump campaign,
the New York Post, they suspended the campaign.
And a million other people. So
Team Trump is the official campaign website of Donald Trump for president. Twitter has become, for better or worse, a primary mechanism through which politicians communicate with the electorate, and they have removed that. How is that not interference?
They're policing it.
Direct interference. Yeah. Let me just say this. In the Federal Election Commission, which oversees spending in campaigns, has certain completely appropriate provisions that are called in-kind contributions, right? Nice. So if you're running for Congress, and I say, I'm gonna give you this product, this business, this service for free, that's an in-kind contribution, right? Mm-hmm. So I could write your campaign materials for you for free, but you would have to charge, basically what would the market rate for that have been if I had to have paid for it? In this particular case, what is the value to the Biden campaign of having Twitter suspend completely the communications of the campaign and its primary spokespeople? Mm-hmm. At a critical moment when the American people at this very second are just now really seriously beginning to make commitments about who they're going to vote for. It's immense, and it certainly exceeds the campaign contribution guidelines. And I think it requires immediate investigation on the FEC's part and findings. And the problem that we have in government right now is we've had, as you have heard from me, an extraordinary president. No one I've been more enthusiastic about in my lifetime, but a bureaucracy and administration personnel who don't really share the passion or vision that the president does. Mm-hmm. So, we talk about the regulatory categorization of some of these media outlets. To me, that question was settled long ago. They either had to change their practices or be recategorized. They're still not recategorized. Now they've intervened. I'm not surprised. I don't know why anyone would be in favor of the candidate that they all said that they supported, that they're all financially supporting for the most part, in a way to try to tilt the balance and use the leverage of their corporate influence for the purposes mm-hmm. of getting this empty vessel candidate elected, on which they will paint the most radical of pictures ever printed a candidate.
It's obvious that all of these people are willing to gamble whatever they think they're going to gamble, or maybe they look at Biden as inconsequential somehow or another. But I will tell you this, it just came on the wire here a bit ago as well, that the Senate has agreed. They've put out a subpoena now. They are subpoena to the Twitter CEO, Jack Dorsey there, even before waiting for this hearing that I know is on the schedule. I know it is for a couple of weeks from now. They have not even waited until then and taken a chance, back to what you just said, Michael. So they're on it, evidently. They have subpoenaed.
But they're on it after the damage is done.
Understood.
That's the problem here. Understood. We've been talking about this. I've been talking about it for 4 years, including with policymakers, including with the very elected officials that are going to now be involved in investigating this, forewarning them that there were issues associated with this.
Yeah.
And now we've had what could be an extraordinary, it's not even just the denying of the communication vehicle, But the perception that's projected on the administration in canceling these very credible individuals from being able to communicate, you know, when you suspend Kayleigh McEnany's account, aren't you really saying this is not a credible voice? Don't listen to her. Don't believe her. Of course, that's what you're saying. That's the message you're sending. That's both inaccurate and it's interfering in an electoral process in almost certainly illegal ways.
Yeah. The other thing to wrap this up here, and when we talk about the establishment striking back, is, you know, there was this ABC town hall in play, which everybody knows about this already, for Joe Biden to speak. And this was going to be on Thursday evening. And now it has now been revealed that President Trump will have a competing town hall at NBC. Well, right away, to show you right away, all of the media outlets started to leak various articles. NBC's Trump town hall has many liberals peeved, bad for democracy. They are really livid. Another one, NBC's Trump town hall will likely be a train wreck and viewers will flock to it. Don Lemon rips NBC for rewarding Trump with a town hall opposite ABC. So right away, this is how corrupt it is. The media has come out and they have went right after the entire program and said, Michael, wow, you know, you should not have this town hall with the president because you're now rewarding him. They're calling this a reward to Trump. This is how much the establishment has. It's like a schoolyard bully takedown, Michael, is what they've all jumped on the schoolyard guy to knock him down on the ground. And they're all jumping on the kid, beating the hell out of him here. That's what's happening with all the media here now with this town hall. But they don't even hide this anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying to you? They don't even hide this
anymore.
Well,
they attempt to hide it. But I mean, I'm sitting here like literally at this moment.
It's right out.
Look, read this Hunter Biden email to the Chinese officials that he cut this deal with. This is a $10 million plus deal that is immensely troubling. Are they trying to hide it? Yes, we would not have seen this particular email if his laptop hadn't been left at a Delaware computer repair site. But there's enough here for us to be immensely concerned. Forget the policy, forget the politics, that Joe Biden has been selling influence for great financial gain for his family. That's a thesis, not yet proven, but certainly hugely suggestive, and it's right here in writing. So I'd like to hear them either say these were not emails that Hunter sent or received, or that they did. Biden needs to be confronted right now, today, on this issue. Okay. Yep. I mean, if you are a journalist and you have any degree of professionalism, any degree of commitment to your obligation to communicate issues of lasting importance to the American people, this is the issue right now, today.
Yeah.
This is
absolutely
precisely and almost exclusively what the American people need to know about.
Yeah. All right. We'll have more observations on the establishment striking back, and we'll be back just after this pause with Michael Johns on The Voice of a Nation. My fellow Americans, our mission here at AmericaOutloud.com is clear. We're here to defend our founding values and principles at a moment when they are under unprecedented assault. And to cover the news objectively and offer intelligent commentary on the challenges we face as a nation. You can tune in and join our family of listeners 24/7 in this vital crusade. Our apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa. Find us on iHeartRadio or our world-class media player. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
You know, the one thing we talk all the time, there's been this whole thing about, well, Hunter Biden and his drug habit and all of that. And, you know, I get it. And then, you know, you see that, as Michael was referencing before the pause there about that computer shop, you know, who in their right mind would have all that corruptness on their laptop and then forget it at a computer store? Now, that just solidifies the point that the guy is on drugs and that he doesn't have his connectivity or his mind. And then, as Michael referenced earlier, which I think was absolutely important and brilliant to put out there, is let's forget the political implications of this and let's worry about the national security implications of that. And just as a reminder to you all out there, the importance of this is critical. So we need to demand that of our politicians right now. And there's, again, there's a frenzy right now happening in our nation. And I started that way, Michael, when I talked about the echo chamber and the establishment, where we sit right now. The clock is running. You can feel the tension out there. Everybody knows it. And it depends who you're believing, what you're believing, or, you know, what the surprise is going to be come November 3rd. Whatever we do know at that point is going to be interesting. Let's get to some other observations. If there ever was a thought as to how the Democrat Party viewed the Supreme Court, that is now out in the open and never needs to be questioned again. As I mentioned early in the program here, they view it as a policy-making sausage processing center for their favorite policies. I gave the example of some of those headlines, but the point is that is clearly out there as they drilled this Supreme Court nominee and banged her up as bad as they could. Somebody was as brilliant intellect as she is, but they could only throw all of these crazy things about whatever it is they wanted to talk about and ask her why she didn't put her view out there. They look at the Supreme Court as policy only. That's part and parcel of the problem we've had in our nation and why they're not creating the laws. And as she kept hitting back, well, it's your job to legislate. You tell me what the laws are and I'll make them happen. Isn't that the way it should be, Michael?
Right? Yeah, she's precisely right on that. I mean, this idea that somehow she's supposed to be presenting some sort of level of expertise on climate science, an immensely complex and really, in many ways, heatedly debated topic that is a niche area, is outrageous. Her position and every judge's position is to look at what is the rule of law and to evaluate it as it applies to cases that are presented before them. Yeah. And to ensure that government or plaintiffs, defendants are acting in ways that are consistent with the rule of law. It's really so simple. And yet decades ago, liberals found when they were losing at the polls, when they could not win the battle for the hearts and minds of the American people, that this was another kind of around the back way of exerting influence, of putting people on the court who had, in many cases, limited experience, for whom there were vastly better qualified individuals, but who sort of had a nod and a wink that they would pursue the support of, you know, of their far left.
Well, and then the other thing is their whole concept of stacking the court and their whole concept of not coming out on that clearly shows everybody what they're up to, Michael. But the bigger point here I'm trying to understand is that they view the Supreme Court in the way as another political branch of government. That's the bottom line. Yes. Here. So America needs to decide, is that what they want in the future? I don't think so. I mean, this will undo 245 years of history of our country. This is serious stuff. This, as I said the other day, probably one of the most, if not the most serious issue on the plate right now, Michael. You know, is this issue we're talking about right now? So,
well, absolutely. If you're going to go vote for Joe Biden, you know, you are voting to do to essentially hand this federal government almost certainly to him and his proteges and his followers and his allies to do what they want with it. And that means expanding the court, which is, you know, a terrifying initiative. I mean, are you aware, by the way, Malcolm, of what the qualifications are to be on the Supreme Court?
Well,
you can listen. Say no, because I'm going to tell you, I talk to yeah. intelligent people. I talk to hugely intelligent people, yeah. including yeah. attorneys who are yeah. unaware of it, to raise the temperature on this whole issue, because I don't think this component of the debate's been sort of brought up either. Qualifications to be on the Supreme Court do not stem beyond being a citizen. So you could be on the Supreme Court, Malcolm. You don't need to be an attorney.
Yeah, but you have to be approved. I get your point. That's a good point.
You need to be nominated and confirmed. Okay.
I guess in that way, you're right. If they agree, yeah. so they can put anybody on there.
So, for instance, could you put an Antifa member or a BLM activist?
You could.
Yes.
But to go through a normal nomination process, you would have to have impeccable credentials and be of the stature of a Supreme. But what you're saying, and you raise a very good point, Michael, if they're going to stack the court, they could put any Joe Blow on there they want and say they're a Supreme Court. That's your point, right?
Yeah, look, my position is basically that the president should have enormous discretion on these appointments. Mm-hmm. But I did come out in opposition to Elena Kagan's appointment back in the early parts of the Obama administration because she had never served as a judge. It seems to me serving as a judge is a reasonable expectation. She had been Solicitor General, and she was an indisputable
a
partisan liberal and was nominated for that reason. Yeah. That reason and the fact that she didn't have a lot of writing that could be sort of dissected and analyzed as part of her.
It's a very good point. Very good point. I want to move the ball along here, but obviously everybody knows where the Supreme Court is now, and they know what the stakes are. The stack on the court, you've learned a ton.
And it's every federal court, Malcolm. So it's, you think about all these circuit courts that we've been talking about. I mean, if they can expand those courts, they can expand the Supreme Court and essentially take control of the judiciary in a matter of months.
Well, and to your point, if that's and let me just qualify what you're saying, please, now that you put that out there. And, you know, the reason what you're saying is important is that I've been seeing a lot of stories in the past days now, Michael, where they're suggesting they are saying that President Trump has been stacking all the courts that you just said, all the circuit courts, judiciary courts. He's been stacking them all. In other words, he's doing his constitutional duty by appointing people to the courts that they're now calling stacking because he's been putting conservative minded people in the courts and the left is offended by it. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Well, at least there's an age requirement, right?
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, but
no, there's not an age requirement either. I'm setting you up on that one, Malcolm. Everybody thinks that too. Literally no age requirement, no education requirement.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the argument. I don't think any of that's the argument, though, where the age or credentials, that's not even the argument. The argument there.
But what I'm saying is the range of people, like we've always been concerned, hey, maybe you get five more Elena Kagans put on there. What I'm suggesting is that from the standpoint of the Constitution, the range of people that can be selected is pretty boundless and could be just simply political people. And what happens, by the way, when BLM and Antifa say, hey, look, we want representation on the court. We're being excluded from the court.
It could happen. This stuff sounds extreme, but it's not really, Michael, is what you're pointing out here.
Discriminatory to them to not have representation.
It could be. And the
That'll
other
be
thing
their
that's,
argument.
And the other thing that's not in the Constitution is the fact of the nine justices. That is not in the Constitution either.
Let me clarify, there's not a citizenship rule either. I mean,
They can put on as many as they want.
You could put foreigners on.
It's very liberal minded is what's happening here. The court itself, a lot of that wasn't put in the Constitution. It was left up again to our Congress and to our political appointees that we have. And it's up to anybody's discretion is what you're pointing out. So the dangers of having this president in our country historically and breaking tradition is what you're speaking about, Michael, has major ramifications, right? Major ramifications.
What I'm saying is that the radical left in this country has their claws into Biden. Biden has 47 years of poor judgment in Washington and now appears to have had some degree of been compromised to some degree by two foreign hostile governments, has no real concrete solutions to any issue.
Let me get your closing thought on this. Why, I mentioned up front, and I wanted your thoughts on why the silence so much of Barack Obama right now? Why do you think that? Why is he staying out of the way, do you think?
Well, he had trepidation through the primary about Biden. I think he was close enough up to him to realize that the guy probably is not well suited to be president and doesn't want his legacy stained by overextending himself in support of a candidate whose story he believes is not going to end well.
And that could very well be. And I also think it could go further than that. I think because a lot of these scandals that are breaking and a lot of the controversy around all of this, I think he's probably been told by the Biden campaign to say, stay still and stay out of it, because the more you put Obama's name in, there are a lot of Americans who understand that the scandals right. around that president are significant.
Well, and Michael. That's what I want to say. It's look, Obama on a surface level is an appealing political figure to many Americans. Mm-hmm. But once you introduce him into the campaign, I'm talking about the fact that they went 8 years and didn't have 3% GDP growth in 1 year. That's the first administration in American history not to do that. They lost 300,000 manufacturing jobs and mocked Trump for saying that he had a solution to bring them back. What, do you have a magic wand? And he brought back 500,000 in 3 years. You go through the disaster of Obamacare, the train wreck that they had on their poverty rankings. More Americans left on food stamps, more Americans in poverty than when they arrived. It's not a track record you want to run a campaign
that's right.
on.
That's right, yeah. Well, that's the voice there of Michael Johns, one of the best conservative voices out there, and my colleague, and it's good to have him on here and really talk about these observations, I call them. There's a lot of serious observations here we talked about today. The establishment striking back is really the common denominator of all the things we're talking about right now. And it's happening at a most pivotal moment in time, my fellow Americans. And right now, this is where the rubber meets the road, right this very moment. And we're all going to have to do our part. The biggest takeaway I want you to take away from this, please, is this. And please hear me on this. We cannot continue to live in an echo chamber, please. We have to reach outside of our circles, even if it's uncomfortable. We need to reach to these other people, and we need to pull more reasonable-minded people into the story here. Take today's program, take the message in from what we're giving you here, and give it out there to 10 other people. If every one of you do that, we will multiply our audience many times over. If you'll send this to 10 other people, if everybody does that and just invite them in, but also with an open mind to understand what the stakes are. So that's what I charge you all with today, is not to let us all sit in an echo chamber, which is what they all do. All political ideologues do that for the most part. And a lot of people do that in their friendly circles and other things. And oftentimes it's uncomfortable when you're hearing things you don't agree with or you don't necessarily like. I get it. I understand it. I get a lot of that in here on a daily basis. But if we're going to win this thing for America and for your family and your future, it's going to require getting outside of the echo chamber. It's a big message. I'm going to be hopping on that a lot in the days and weeks ahead here. Thank you, my fellow Americans, for being on the mission here. It's time to get involved and get loud.